Matthew chapter 15. And we're going to read 20 verses there in Matthew chapter 15. But our focus really is going to be on verses 18 through 20. I give glory and honor and praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thankful again for being able to proclaim the Word of God. And coming from Matthew chapter 15, starting at verse 1, it reads, "Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread.' He answered and said to them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, "Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whosoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth defiles a man." Then his disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch." Verse 15, "Then Peter answered and said to him, 'Explain this parable to us.' So Jesus said, 'Are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man.'" Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. May God bless the reading of his word. Now, we read verses 1 through 17 really to gain proper context, but as was said before, let's focus on verses 18 through 20 here. "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." And we want to focus on this with the message title, "The Healthy Heart." The Healthy Heart. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that your word gives us direction, your word gives us power, your word gives us ability, Lord, to navigate this life. And we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for allowing us to hear your word and to be doers of your word, Lord. Help us, Lord God, to receive it and to do it. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Late last year, I was able to get done something that I do every year. I got my annual physical, and my doctor, he took my weight, he took my blood pressure, he took those vitals, and he asked me a number of questions about how I feel physically, even emotionally as well. And then he went over my blood tests with me. I had gone into LabCorp a few weeks earlier and had given blood and had the blood tested. And he went over the blood test with me that he had received, and he gave me advice on what supplements that I should be taking and where my weight should be. And I thought about all of this, as of course, as I was going over this passage that God had given me for this Sunday. And I realized it does take some amount of time to get my physical done, and it's important that it gets done. There's that old saying that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. But one of the things my doctor did that last time that I remembered when I went in to get my physical, it was called an electrocardiogram, or what is better known as an EKG. So I had to lay back on a table with perhaps a dozen of these contacts that were placed all over my body while they did this test on my heartbeat called an EKG. An EKG measures the electrical activity of the heart muscle, and it just determines whether you have a regular or irregular heartbeat. Because whether you know it or not, your heartbeat is driven by electrical activity, and that's why getting a major electrical shock can kill you, because that electrical shock can permanently disrupt your heart's own electrical current and cause your heart to stop beating. But the EKG measures your heart's health by measuring its electrical activity in several directions simultaneously. And by interpreting the electrical currents of the heart by measuring a series of heartbeats, your doctor, my doctor, is able to look at that EKG readout and determine much about the function of your heart or my heart. An EKG can tell you whether or not you have a healthy heart or not. And if you're reading your Bible, you know that this word heart is in there quite a bit. The word heart appears in the Bible exactly 925 times. There's a Greek word for heart, which is cardias, or spelled in the Greek kappa alpha rho delta iota alpha sigma, cardias. It should be familiar because that is where we get the Latin root word cardio. Now, this word cardias can be applied to the physical heart, just as we do in our own English words like cardiologist or cardiology, or nowadays we just use the word cardio to refer to that portion of our workout where we want to get our heart beat really, really pumping. But the word heart in the Bible is not that physical organ that sits just left of center in your chest that you can hear with a stethoscope or that you can measure with an EKG. In the Bible, the word heart refers to the spiritual center of life. Heart refers to our will, our emotions, our thoughts. The heart is where thoughts, desires, sense of purpose, will, understanding, and character all reside in each and every one of us. This heart contains our motivations for what we do and why we do it. Jesus said that only the pure in heart shall see God. A pure heart really is a healthy heart. A pure heart has no hypocrisy, has no hatred, has no hidden motives. A pure heart is transparent. The behavior that you see in public is the same as what you will see behind closed doors. A pure heart has a complete desire to please God in all things. A pure heart is not concerned about just the outside being clean, but the inside being clean. A pure heart is a healthy heart. As was said before, the EKG test measures the health of our physical heart, but nothing reveals more about the health of our spiritual hearts than our words and our actions. Just as the physical body cannot function well without a healthy heart, neither can the Christian function well with a bad spiritual heart. Because you will be carnal, you will be sluggish in your work for God. It will be hard really to hear God's word, and you will be slow to recognize his presence. The only way we can truly be pure in heart is to give our lives totally to Jesus. By his Spirit, he can stir up our mind and our willingness to pray, stir up our willingness to study our Bible, stir up our willingness to fellowship. All of these things work together to keep our spiritual hearts healthy. And all of this is an inside job. But if all you care about is what you look like on the outside, what image you're trying to project, then you are effectively like one of the scribes and Pharisees that Jesus was speaking to here in Matthew chapter 15. And that brings us to this text this morning. Simply put, by their traditions, the scribes and the Pharisees had elevated their human traditions above God's law. Now note there in verse 2 that the scribes and Pharisees had accused the disciples of violating, quote, the traditions of the elders, end quote. Not violating a law delivered by God himself, but violating the traditions of the elders. And this is where Jesus sought to set them straight and set us straight today in these verses that follow and which we have read. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees were sort of the combination of what you would call Jewish elders and theologians. They made their living, their livelihood, from reading and interpreting the law, or what we would call today the Torah, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And over the years, the scribes and the Pharisees had developed an oral tradition of the law of God. And over time, this oral interpretation was expanded to almost 4,000 plus rules and regulations that covered every aspect of Hebrew or Jewish life. But it also included in this oral tradition some rules regarding external cleanliness, especially cleanliness related to hands. And there was a tradition that had been developed around washing hands before you eat as being something sacred. To defile means to desecrate something sacred. To defile means to take something clean and pure and make it dirty. And the scribes and Pharisees taught that this man-made tradition of failing to washing your hands before eating somehow made you spiritually defiled. But let me put it in another way. They thought that because you washed your hands before you ate, you were somehow spiritually clean. And this is what they were confronting Jesus over, that his disciples had not washed their hands before they ate, as though that made them spiritually unclean to God. And again, if you go back to the Torah, the law, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, or Deuteronomy, or what we would call the Torah or the law, there is nothing like this to be found there. It was a man-made tradition that these scribes and Pharisees had elevated to be equal to the law of God. But Jesus uses this as an opportunity to teach and to correct what is wrong, to teach that it is not the externals, that is the forms of rituals or religion, that makes us right with God. It is the internal condition of the heart that God is looking at. The Pharisees thought that cleaning up the outer man was sufficient. Yet Jesus teaches the opposite. Jesus does not say that what you do on the outside is what makes you unclean. Jesus says that your condition on the inside is what makes you unclean. It's not what we eat or drink that defiles us, as the Pharisees were teaching, but the real place of defilement is in our own hearts. Because all of the evil that people do, that stuff originates in their heart. And here in this passage, Jesus was confronted by scribes and Pharisees who had unhealthy hearts. They were suffering from heart trouble and didn't even know it. But Jesus knew it, and he took the time to expose the true nature of their hearts. And Jesus also gave us some insight on how we can look at our own hearts and determine if there may be a problem with it. Because if you and I are not careful, we can become scribes and Pharisees. Because on the outside, they looked fine. On the outside, they appeared to be religious and they did good things. They read the Torah, they gave, they attended the synagogue. But the scribes and the Pharisees, like these here in Matthew 15, did not function as they were designed to function. They could not bring glory to God fully because they had a problem with their heart. And if you're not careful, if I'm not careful, if we are leaning to our own understanding, you can become like one of these scribes and Pharisees. Proverbs 3 and 4 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Now, while I may not know your heart, God knows it, and he knows my heart. He knows all about what is inside of you and me. He knows what makes us tick. Man looks at the outer appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. He can see things about you and me that no one else can see, those hidden things, those inner thoughts and desires that your family and friends have no idea are even floating about in your heart. The Lord looks at the heart. He's looking at that place inside where you're constantly weighing this option or that option. This means he's looking more at than just your behavior. He's looking at why you do what you do. And that goes to the level of the heart. Your heart, my heart, it's a window to our soul. When the heart is healthy, there will be a love for God evidenced by genuine worship and work that honors and glorifies him. But know this, a healthy heart has to be maintained. Just like a physical heart is maintained through right eating and through exercise, a healthy spiritual heart has to be maintained. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." Your heart's condition depends on the things you allow into your heart. No matter what your outside circumstances are, if your heart, the inside, is right, then you will have a healthy heart. But here's a question. Who is responsible for your heart's condition? Or asked another way, who is responsible for keeping a healthy heart? Again, going back to Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." Notice that it doesn't say that someone else will keep your heart. Notice it doesn't say that your neighbor will keep your heart or your pastor will keep your heart. It says you need to keep your own heart. What does that look like? How do you do that? How do you keep your heart? The Bible says as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And that means that if you think angry thoughts, angry words are sure to follow. If you fill your mind with sexual fantasies, you will seek a way to fulfill those desires. If you dwell on your problems, they will soon overwhelm you. If you feel like a victim, soon you will be one. If you focus on how others misunderstand you, you will soon become angry and bitter. You are in charge. I'm in charge of keeping our own hearts. And it's a full-time job, too, because you don't know, we don't know, on any given day, what's going to come up. You don't know what someone may say to you that may hurt you or how they may disappoint you or let you down. You don't know what temptation that may come your way. And then suddenly there's a wound in your heart that needs to be healed. So since you don't know when and you don't know where, you have to constantly work with the Holy Spirit to keep your heart right, to keep your heart healthy. Because if wrong things in our heart go unattended, they will become deeply rooted and harder to heal. But the quicker you can detect a bad heart condition and get it straightened out, the better off you are. You can keep your heart healthy by feeding it a constant diet of the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Fill your heart with the Word of God. Psalm 119:11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Memorizing God's word on a regular basis enables our hearts to keep an account of the Bible's teachings, and that is most valuable to us when we are facing trials and temptations. At that point, we can rely on God's word to encourage us, to strengthen us, and to help us overcome. And then you can keep a healthy heart through prayer. Praying without ceasing. Well, what does that mean, to pray without ceasing? That means recurring prayer. You're making prayer to be a way of life. You're continually in an attitude of prayer. It's living where everything you see and experience becomes an opportunity to pray on the spot. To pray without ceasing means when you are tempted, you hold the temptation before God and ask him for his help. When you experience something good and beautiful, you immediately thank God for it. When you see evil around you, you ask God to make it right and to use you toward that end, if it's his will. When you meet someone who does not know Christ, you pray for God to draw that person to himself. When you encounter trouble, you turn to God as your deliverer. That is praying without ceasing. That's praying on the spot. So if you want to have a healthy heart, God's given you and I the opportunity to have one and then to maintain one. Stay in the Word. Stay in prayer. Stay in fellowship with the group of believers that are also growing in Christ. So as I move to my conclusion, let us leave this call determined to know the condition of our heart, determined to keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life, determined to keep our hearts healthy. Because as children of God, we have had Jesus rescue us from our sins, and because of that, we are free to set our heart on things that are pure and pleasing to God. So seek to fill your hearts with God's word and God's will, so that there is no room in your heart for those sinful thoughts and desires to come over and take over and set up headquarters in your heart. You are in charge of keeping your own heart, and you keep your heart by allowing God's word and God's will to reign within. And when you do so, you can be like the psalmist said, and you can do what the psalmist did: let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word's power. And God, we pray that as you look upon our hearts, Lord God, we pray, O Heavenly Father, that you reveal whatever that may be in our heart, Lord God. Reveal it to us and allow us, Lord God, to remove whatever is not pleasing to you, that our hearts may be pure, because you said in your word, Lord God, that only the pure in heart shall see you. You said in your word, Lord God, that you are not like man that looks on the outward appearance. You look at the heart. So, Father God, we pray for healthy hearts, Lord God. And we pray, Lord God, that any heart that is not where it needs to be, Lord God, that you bring that heart to where it needs to be. Lord God, we adore you, we worship you, we love you, and we put, Lord God, our hearts in your hands to allow us, Lord God, to have a healthy heart. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.